are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. It is July 26th. It's 11:39 Eastern time when I'm recording this. It's the only time I could get John Williams, the busiest man in podcasting, for an interview from Locked On Sooners. So it's going to be a busy, crazy week. You guys know I also have the Locked On Nationals podcast. Ironically enough, while I was recording the night Locked On Big 12, Brad Hand for the Nets gave up a three-run home run, and they lost, and they're in a fire sale right now. So crazy week for me, but I hope you guys enjoyed my conversation today with John Williams of Locked On Sooners. We talk about this thing really from the OU perspective and the move and what it means for Oklahoma from a competitive standpoint, from a money standpoint, and just kind of hit it from all angles from the OU perspective. So I hope you guys enjoy. All right, and you can hear me okay, right?
Yep.
All right, we'll go in 3, 2, and 1. Hello, everybody. This is a crossover edition of the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Joining me tonight is John Williams of Locked On Sooners. John, is there anything to talk about?
Not much, man. It's been I don't know. It's been kind of quiet since about Wednesday.
Talking
afternoon.
Season, right?
Yeah,
just talking
yeah.
Season.
I'm just still waiting for college football season to start, so I don't know what else is going on.
Today was official. Oklahoma and Texas, I guess you could say they put in their papers, right? They put their 2 weeks in, or their 4 years in. We'll see whatever it ends up being. Yeah. But they told the Big 12 Conference they're not going to renew their grant of rights in 2025 to extend their television contract with them. So it paves the way for them to go to the SEC. Now, before I kind of get into how the fans are feeling and everything, I think the big question I really want to know, and know what you think, is when are they going to make the move? Because they're not waiting until 2025, in my opinion. I mean, you don't break up with somebody and say, yeah, well, let's live together until the lease is over, right? It's not really how it works normally.
Yeah, I totally agree. I kind of compared it to asking for a divorce and then staying in the house.
Right.
It just didn't really work that way. You know, I've seen different things. You know, obviously the grant of rights thing has them locked until 2025, but there are ways to get out of that. I've seen estimations of 2023, something we reported today on Sooners Wire's 2022 based on an SEC source. So I honestly think it's probably going to happen next year. I think this is going to be one of those things similar to the way it played out 10 years ago, where Texas A&M, Colorado, Nebraska, and Missouri were so butthurt over the Longhorn network that they just decided to bail too. And I don't imagine that the Big 12 is going to want Oklahoma and Texas sticking around, taking the money, winning the titles, getting the accolades, and then leaving. I think they're going to be willing to find a mutually beneficial agreement sometime in 2022 to allow Oklahoma and Texas to walk without it having to be a big ordeal where there's lawsuits and court battles and things like that. I feel like they'll have some kind of arbitration hearing that finds something that's mutually beneficial.
Right. I think maybe for the Big 12's angle, they have them hang around just long enough to figure out what else they're going to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe the SEC helps them some, because I mean, look, whatever the monetary number is, whatever the number is, I forget what it is each year. Like the SEC, like they Oklahoma and Texas could make that up pretty quickly with what they're going to make. It's just fascinating. The other thing to me, it's been so striking is like how fast it happened.
Right.
And I think NIL happened over a course of a period of time. So that wasn't that quick. The playoff was another one of those things where we knew the meetings were happening with the commissioners, but we did not know that the proposal was going to happen. Then you kind of think about it and you're like, well, what's stopping them from doing it now? Basically, what's stopping them from saying, hey, in a year or two, we can do this. And the whole thing is nothing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's contracts in place, but as always in anything, in any line of work, contracts are amendable. And so I think it's just been crazy to me that we've had two seismic shifts in such a short period of time. And that's why I think it's hard to almost like record a podcast about it. I feel like a lot. That's what I kind of found myself the last week, because it's so fast and there's a lot of information. You're just almost like, yeah, I'm flummoxed. What else do you want to say? It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind, man. You know, when it first kind of broke, I think it was Wednesday afternoon. I was at work and I got real distracted real quick. And, you know, the Thursday, Friday episodes are really good opportunities to kind of process through some of the information that was coming out and what the impact was going to be on the Big 12, on Oklahoma, on Texas, and just on college football as a whole. But yeah, man, even as the weekend transpired and then Monday and now, you know, going into Tuesday have come along, it's just, it's all gone really, really quickly. Like you said, you know, it was something that has been in the works for a while. And even like the NIL, you know, you talked about the college football playoff, this big major shift, but NIL, you could throw that in there as a third. It's like, you know, they say deaths happen in three. And this is one of those situations where it's like college football playoff, NIL, and now Oklahoma, Texas, like all these huge things happening, completely changing the landscape of college football for the near future. And I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the rest of the Big 12 or with even the Pac 12 and the Big 10 and the ACC. I feel like there's going to be some major movement with those conferences as well, because they're going to want to try to do what they can to keep up with the SEC now. But yeah, it's been a really weird 6 months for a game that seemingly never wants to change. And it took how many years to get an actual national championship game in place? And then it took another, 14, 15 years to get a four-team playoff in place after that. Like there have been some really significant changes in a really, you know, short period of time that it just, yeah, I think it has everybody just kind of spinning a little bit, because it's like, this is a game that never changes. And now we're having so many changes all at once. It's like everybody got really bored during COVID and thought, hey, what can we do to really shake things up a bit?
I always joke, I'm like, I'm a pretty progressive guy. I'm not sure I'm this progressive. I'm not sure I need all this change at once. I think the one thing for me is like the charades up, right? Yeah. The idea that it's like, yeah, this is amateur athletics still.
Yeah.
And it's in the facade's been gone for a while, but
right.
You know, I think for me, when it started to hit me was I was talking with Chris Gordy about the location of where the playoff games would be if it went to 12. And it's just like, no, we're going to do the first rounds, you know, potentially at bowl sites, because there's so much money to be made. And it made me think about, you know, when I went to actually the Peach Bowl, when LSU played Oklahoma a few years ago, and just like Chick-fil-A and Dr. Pepper and all of those big sponsors are everywhere. And just this thing it's the second most, at its core, college football is the second most popular sport in America. It is. It's what ESPN metrics. That's what Holly Rowe had told us when, you know, I was working with her some. Like, it is. It's just that popular. And so the kids are now, I think NIL opened the door for playoff expansion, because basically, like, all right, we can go to 17 games and not feel like this is really weird. Because if it was 17 games, the kids had no chance to make any money at all. I'm drawing a line on that. That's absolutely wrong. But now they have an opportunity. Now that they do have a chance, you know, not everybody can. They would do have a chance to make something off of it. And so I think that helped them pull the trigger. And then I think once everybody saw it going to 12, I know OU and Texas, the SEC was in the works before that, before we heard that news. But it's just like, look, if we can just all grab cash, why not? Let's just do it. I mean, sure, a couple of people's feelings can be hurt along the way. You know, Ross Bjork's number one, his feelings over there at A&M, he's not been too pleased about it. But, you know, in the end, like, look, they're going to make more money. And also, they're better than Texas is right now in football. So I would say bring it. Yes, we would love to play Texas right now. I'd like to play them this year in the schedule, honestly, if you know, that's what I'd be saying. But I just feel like that kind of – this window accelerated everything. Like, we're like, you know what? Let's not hide it anymore. This is about money. There's no reason to hide it anymore. This is not about student-athlete experience. Let's cram all that crap. The NCAA took a step back. We're like, you know what? We don't care about NIL. You guys can do it yourselves. The NCAA shouldn't even be involved in college football anymore.
Right.
I mean, what do they do? They all have no purpose.
Yeah. And I think it's going to get to a point at some point where one of the major conferences realizes, why are we supporting an organization that really doesn't do much for us except provide some guidelines, which we could probably do ourselves. Like I get like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, before the internet age and, you know, the increase in communication capabilities just really sprung up, that you needed a centralized body that could help manage, you know, 100 plus teams in college athletics. But now, I mean, you can manage that at the conference level. These conferences can do what they need to do to run a football schedule. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's about money. You kind of hate that. It loses a little bit of its luster a little bit. Like, you want to maintain the dream as long as possible when you're watching college sports. But I mean, even as the Olympics are going on right now, it's supposedly amateur athletics, but look how much money is being made by the networks and by these different countries with these amateurs, quote unquote, you know, playing sports. I mean, there's so much money in any sport anymore. And you're right. I think though they may not have known about the college football playoff going to 12, I bet they had whispers. They had an understanding that's where they were headed. And I think that's why, you know, I think that's why Oklahoma and Texas felt comfortable making this move, because in a 14 playoff, okay, maybe they get shut out of the playoff a little bit, but in a 12 team, there's very little chance that Oklahoma is not going to be at least the fourth best team in the SEC in a given year. Most years.
This is what's the funny part of it, but go ahead, finish your point.
Well, I was going to say, and if you look back at like top 25s from the college football playoff era, there's a pretty good chance you're going to find four SEC teams ranked in the top 12.
Right. And my whole thought about this on one front is, so Oklahoma's going in there with, I would say like Georgia status is kind of, I think it's kind of fair, maybe a little bit below Georgia, but like Georgia is considered obviously one of the, you know, best teams. Oklahoma recruits great. They've been to a bunch of college football playoffs. I mean, obviously they haven't performed at the highest level, but I mean, still, they've had that game against Georgia where they came really close. The game could have gone either way. They would have been in the championship. This year, in my opinion, they've got the best team out of anybody returning across the entire country. So I think they fit in seamlessly because their brand is really strong, and also their team is strong. Texas, I was going through this the other day. Like, this is not a good competitive move. Now, the way it is a good competitive move is that this hurts. This is going to hurt the Missouris, the Arkansas's, the LSU's, who pick off Texas kids by saying, we're in the SEC and you're not.
Right.
So that could help them. But from a competitive standpoint, like, you can afford a couple losses. And I think they go in and think they adjust and it'll be fine. There is a little bit of a down, but they'll eventually adjust and be like, all right, we're a machine again. Texas has a long, long way to climb. I mean, they're not even the second best team in the Big 12 this year. Yeah. You could argue that Oklahoma State might end up being better than them this season. You know, where would they fit in the SEC this year? I mean, you could make the argument that Oklahoma would be one of the two or three best teams in the conference. Texas is like seventh or eighth. Like, I don't even know if Texas would beat Ole Miss. Pause in the action. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar in the game today. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use that promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. They've got 9 great flavors available in addition to their Built Go and their Built Boost. Check it all out at BuiltBar.com. Once again, promo code LOCKED15, 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 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yeah, it'd be really tough. And that's some of the intriguing aspects of this whole realignment thing is how many really fun games are going to be on the schedule.
Right.
Like, even if you're not even a fan of one of these two teams, you look at the schedule that, say they go to, you know, 2 8-team divisions, which is kind of what I hope for, versus the 4 pods. But either way, you're going to get a lot of really intriguing matchups every single Saturday. And I mean, I think, yes, Oklahoma is going to compete with the guys at the top. Alabama is the cream of the crop. No doubt about it. Georgia's right there. And then they, you know, I think they fit in right there with Georgia, depending on the rosters at any given moment. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then after that, you've got a really, really deep middle class, I think, with Auburn, Florida, Texas, Texas A&M. You know, I think Tennessee is going to be a team that's going to be on the rise. I love Josh Heupel as a head coach. You know, we saw what he did with UCF. And I think this is going to be one of those things where he builds that Tennessee program. They're going to have a bit of a dip after losing the recruits and investigations and things like that, and losing transfers. But I don't think it'll take very long before he's got that team playing in that middle class as well.
That's actually, I hadn't thought about the Heupel Oklahoma thing.
That's really, gonna be so much fun.
That's really interesting.
It's still bad blood.
Yeah. His relationship is really poor, I think, with Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Which is,
That's one part that's, that should be talked about, John, is that, you know, Oklahoma doesn't get Texas at OU, right? And vice versa.
Right.
So your schedule every year, you know, like people say going to a game at DKR is not like that fun, but also you can make argument. I mean, who's the best team that's come to Texas in the last 10 years? Probably LSU, right? That's the best game they had there. And they've had a few good ones,
right.
But you don't get a lot of great games. And so this is the one thing is that I will say is a huge advantage. It's fresh matchups and it's big games at home for Oklahoma and Texas, which in the conference schedule, you don't normally get. I mean, I'm trying to think about last year, like who was Oklahoma's biggest game at home, right? In the all conference schedule.
Yeah.
They played Iowa State in the road, right?
Yeah. And I can't remember if it was K-State at home.
Yeah. And Oklahoma State, I believe was in Stillwater.
Yeah. So, but even those games for Sooners fans, they don't really carry much weight, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, it's not like bringing Ohio State to town or even bringing Tennessee to town like you did 6 years ago or so. But yeah, so you bring an Alabama or an Auburn into Norman. Oh my God, that's huge. Like bringing even Texas A&M back into the discussion on a regular basis. That's huge for Sooners fans. Like I know like Aggies get dumped on a lot just for their traditions and things like that. But I mean, that's still a really huge matchup and it moves the needle for Texas fans, for Oklahoma fans. And for me, like getting that Texas A&M rivalry back, that is
huge.
If anything, the biggest thing that could happen for both of those schools, because it's been too long since that game has happened. They need that game. It's good for the state of Texas. It's good for college football. I think another good thing that's going to come out of this is Oklahoma, Arkansas. I mean, really natural border rivals, Oklahoma, Missouri. Oklahoma's got something like 67 wins against Missouri, but they haven't played since they left the conference. And so it's good to get those natural border rivals back. And especially Arkansas, like I live an hour and 15 minutes from Fayetteville. So when Oklahoma goes on the road to play Arkansas, I'm going to be going to that game. That's going to be a really easy road game for me to hit up.
And I wanted to kind of get into that part of it. You know, the fact that the organizational part of it, how would you like to see it done? Because I'm a firm believer. Now I went to the University of Missouri, but you know, so as somebody who went there and first started in 2015, you know, I heard about these rivalries that they had, never got to see them play. So would you want that kind of that pod system where you'd group together your Texas, your Oklahoma, your OU, you know, your Arkansas, your Missouri's kind of together? Or how do you kind of want to see it organized when it comes to that?
Yeah, so I wrote about this actually at Sooners Wire, and I really think 2 8-team divisions is the way to go. You know, you have a West and you East, you move Auburn and Alabama to the East, you bring Missouri to the West, and then you have Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Texas A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. I think that's 8.
Yeah.
And I think that provides good balance of powers on both sides. Now the East is going to be, it's murderer's row over there with Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, but again, I don't think it's long before we see Texas start to kind of pick up their game on the field. But you also have Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher, who's been really, really good the last couple of years. And you have LSU with Ed Orgeron. I think that's going to be a team that bounces back this year. And so I think there's still some really strong teams in the West side of that conference. I can see the pod system working if you're trying to limit the number of conference games these teams play. But if you're the SEC, I'm looking to maximize the amount of conference games my team.
Yeah, they're going to 9. They have to go to 9, right? I mean,
it's a
foregone conclusion at this point. They're going to 9.
So for me, I'm playing my 7 divisional matchups. I'm playing 4. If I'm Oklahoma, I'm playing 4 from the East. I'm getting 11 SEC games on the schedule. And then if you want another game on the schedule, a non-conference game, if I'm Oklahoma, I'm doing whatever I got to do to schedule Bedlam every year.
Right.
That's my 12 games every year. All SEC and Bedlam. And if I can't make that happen, I'll bring Tulane or I'll bring Tulsa to campus every year or alternate home and home with Tulsa.
That is one thing so people are like, well, I hate the cupcake games. I'm a fan of the cupcake game where it's like LSU versus against Southeast Louisiana. I like it when those bigger programs support the smaller ones in their state.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan of keeping those as much as possible. I know people get mad about them, but like, you know, if you look at it from that perspective, like a competitive perspective, you're looking at it the wrong way. you know, it is a way for a higher tier program to support, you know, those are pay games, check games, we're going to call them, support mm-hmm. the lower tier programs that happen. I mean, some of those check games, they pay for like the operations for some of those teams' entire seasons. So, yeah, right. if you can figure out a way to do it. I'm not sure Oklahoma, you know, I'm not sure Tulsa would be a good example there. Yeah, obviously not to the extent that some of the FCS ones would be. But,
right.
Yeah, you know, it's at that point, though, at the SEC's point of 16, do you think they expand and they merge with the ACC? Do you think something that happens? You know, I think everybody's talking about all these super conferences and just leaving the group of five behind. But, like, I don't know if there's – I don't know if there's a whole lot of appetite for that. Yeah. At this point, like, I think, I don't want to say I feel gross, but like, I think like this is a lot right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we have to just be like, you know, blow it all up and just let's go Super League. Like, we, you know, let's just do the college football version of what the Champions League is right now. And that's yeah. it. I don't want to see that. I still want to see some acknowledgement of the lower ranks. And that's why I thought the playoff with 12 teams is progress towards that. But you could argue at the same time, this is a step backwards. We're talking about super conferences. It's kind of a step backwards in acknowledging teams like Cincinnati and BYU and Boise mm-hmm. State. One more pause in today's show. Let you guys know today's show is brought to you by betonline.ag. Whether it's NCAA football, NBA basketball, NHL, draft futures, Olympics, whatever it is, betonline.ag has you covered. You go there today, make an account on your iPhone, on your tablet, on your computer. It's free. Then you use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON Locked On, and you'll receive a 50% deposit bonus. That's right, 50%. So if you deposit $100, they'll give you an extra 50 to play with in site credit today at BetOnline.ag. Once again, that's BetOnline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
If we could get to, you know, the four 16-team conferences and have the Power Four, so to speak, mm-hmm. I think that'd be a really good place to be. You know, you'd have the Pac 16 out west and the Big 16 up north, you know, kind of covering that north.
Maybe northeast. We could finally have correctly numbered numbered conferences.
Yeah. Right? And then you got the ACC kind of covering the, you know, the East Coast for the most part. And then, you know, the SEC, the South, Southeast. I think that really just fits geographically. I'm not ready to see them go to like a 32 team, one big conference where,
right.
But the only way I'd be cool with that is if you added some sort of relegation system in, like they have in the English Premier League for soccer, right. Where it's like, if you're not part of the top 32, okay, cool. If you're in that next 32 and you win, or you're the top three or four in that league, fine. You bump up and those teams bump mm-hmm. down. You know, like, you got to figure out some way to punish the teams that are terrible and reward the teams that actually have some success, even if it's at the lower levels. So you can see like a team like North Dakota State, you know, like if they keep mm-hmm. winning and winning and winning, like, hey, why not give them a shot in the, you know, in the,
they've already beaten FBS teams, right?
Yeah. Why not give them a shot in the super conference? So, yeah, for me, like, I think 16 is a good number, because otherwise you're gonna have to start like kicking teams out. Like Vanderbilt would not belong in a 32 team super conference. You know, I would have a hard time, you know, being cool with, like, I don't know, even Kentucky at times, unless
Duke.
You're like,
Duke, having, I think Duke, yeah, Duke would be getting. Like, Duke basketball is the only thing that brings any value.
Yeah, like, what do you do with Kansas? You know, like,
right.
You do have to recognize that, yes, these schools have a long history. And so I think if you go to that, you know, even 20 teams, it starts to push it a little bit for me.
Yeah, 16 teams pushing it, because I guess, like, what I want in a conference is kind of some commonality. Uh-huh. We want that kind of relationship. And I've always said this, that the only thing that Missouri and South Carolina had in common was that they're both in a town called Columbia.
Yeah.
One, they're thousands of miles away from each other, but right. and they're in the same division, which is the crazy part. So, you know, how have the fans taken to this? I mean, I guess they have to be happy, because the thing is, like, if you think down the line, not just football, like Oklahoma softball, now they're SEC.
That might
be the best part out of all of this. If you're a real sports fan, that's probably, like, you know, if you talk about, okay, Oklahoma football, sure. Oklahoma softball in the Southeastern Conference, mm-hmm. and a conference that sometimes sends almost all of their teams to the tournament. Right. I mean, that's just, it's just cherry on top.
Yeah. It's going to be super fun. I mean, the matchups that they had with Georgia and Florida this past year were fantastic. And those will be a lot of fun. I think I think that's something that people are kind of excited about. It's mixed. You know, I've seen some people who are really excited about it. I've seen some people who are really, really upset about it. I was joking with my wife about it before the show. And, you know, she's an Oklahoma alum. She's got 2 degrees from there. And she's like, I hate it. The SEC has been the enemy my entire college football, you know, the entire time I've acknowledged college football as a sport. Right. You know, she started going to OU back in 99. And so, yeah, she's like, I am not happy about this. While I'm sitting there like gleefully trying to like map out the schedule for Oklahoma and, you know, how this is all going to play out and what, you know, what, how fun the SEC right. schedule could be. And I mean, I do hate the fact that there's a potential to lose Bedlam. I think that's going to be a huge loss in this. The Oklahoma State president, KZ Shrum, is not happy. She's not. Went scorched earth on Twitter earlier, and I don't blame her. Like I really don't blame her, but also at the same time, if you're Oklahoma, you can't have these conversations out in the public trying to negotiate a big deal that this is. I mean, that's just not how business works.
Right.
But, or at least not how good business works. And so I think that is a big loss for Oklahoma and Oklahoma State's fans that they're not going to have that game potentially down the road. I think it'll take some work if they want to keep that game in the regular rotation, but I do think that's a huge loss. And I do think, you know, there has been some SEC animosity over the years because of the profile that they get on like ESPN or
it just means more,
you know, people constantly talking about them being the best conference, and you can't discount what Alabama's done. And then you mix in an Auburn every once in a while and an LSU here and there. And yeah, they've dominated the national championship scene for nearly 2 decades. And so you can't really discount that. At the same time, kind of that middle class and under hasn't always necessarily been very strong. And I think that's where Big 12 and Oklahoma fans have kind of taken exception at times is, you know, people want to downplay the schedule that Oklahoma plays or what the Big 12 is. When you look at the SEC's kind of middle tier and below, you're like, really? Is that much different than the Big 12's middle tier right. below? I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, I think there's mixed emotions on it. I think, you know, some people who are who just love college football are kind of excited. Some people who don't really like the SEC are concerned about whether or not Oklahoma can make the playoff or win conference championships. You know, they're a little bit concerned about it. But I mean, if you're Oklahoma and you want to play with the big boys and you think that you're one of the best programs in the history of college football, which you are, then why not? Like, why not step up and challenge yourself? And, you know, like Texas will get a surge from being in the SEC. It, you know, there's a good chance that Oklahoma will, even though they've done a really good job recruiting. I think there's a good chance they can get that same surge in recruiting as well. And so I think Lincoln Riley is never going to be afraid of a challenge. I don't think, you know, the athletic director Joe Castiglione is going to be afraid of a challenge. You know, that's why they negotiated this deal and we're willing to take it head on, and, you know, they'll deal with kind of the PR ramifications of it all. Yeah. But I think everybody's excited about it. At least I'm excited about it. And I think a lot of people that I've talked to are excited about it. There's definitely going to be some apprehension from some people.
I think the million people that I know, they're pretty happy because, you know, they're Big 12 people, sure, but this is a new opportunity. It's a new challenge.
Yeah.
And it's going to be more lucrative at the end of the day. Also, I saw some stuff about them being upset about the time slots with Fox.
Yes.
Noon. Mm-hmm. I sympathize with that. You know, the SEC network, those people, they love to put Missouri at 11 o'clock East Central Time. And I'm sure, you know, those kickoffs suck. They're the worst.
Yeah.
And so that's a big spot. And guess what? Oklahoma and Texas gets put there. And now they might not, right? Now they have a chance to be put at a different time, right? And now when they play marquee matchups, they have a chance to get some more exposure, different slots. So I totally get it. I totally understand it. I know it's just number one, I think Joe C did a great job. I mean, they kept this thing under wraps. I mean, I think part of the shock was how well, you know, it's like not everything gets leaked, especially when Texas is involved.
Right.
You know, Oklahoma, we expected Oklahoma to take care of their business. Joe C's pretty shrewd. We always talk about Texas, there being too many cooks in the kitchen. And you kind of assume one of those cooks might say something.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, maybe they did towards the end, but they were able to keep it under wraps. But it just kind of made like the rest of the conference. Like, it's just, you know, I guess from that perspective, I just, it's difficult because I understand why Oklahoma and Texas would do this. So I think from a holistic perspective, you can't be mad at them at all. But the fact that like this, you know, we just woke up one day and the decision makers woke up one day. And we're like, you know what, this, let's just chase the dollar. Let's just do it. And I guess it's sad. I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about it anymore. You know, there's a certain part of me that I'm not uncomfortable. I only think uncomfortable describes it. It's just like, it's not what I want this sport to be. And I guess, I don't know.
Yeah.
Personal preference type deal.
Yeah. I mean, it feels weird, you know, especially like, I feel like NIL coming in, you hear about Bryce Young down at Bama already being worth $1 million in NIL. And you're like, okay, that feels a little strange, but also the networks are making millions and billions and the conferences and schools are making millions. Bryce Young, go get your money, man. Go get your money.
That part I'm fine with.
Yeah, but then it's
the next TV contract, like the 12-team playoff TV contract is going to be over $1 billion.
Yeah.
And so when I sit there and I sit there and I think like that money itself, like the kids actually aren't going to see any of that money. Yeah.
Right.
The next SEC network contract is going to be absolutely gigantic. Yeah. And you think about it, you're like, that money actually doesn't go to the kids.
Yeah.
It goes to the facilities, whatever. But like, you know what I mean? It doesn't go directly to them, the people who are making this kind of happen. And it's just like the numbers getting more and more absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, it's out of control isn't the right word, but it's just like, it's just kind of a manifestation of greed and chasing this stuff.
Right.
And so,
yeah.
You know, it just makes you upset.
Yeah. And so it does feel weird to know like, yes, that this is a money play. It does feel weird that your team is potentially losing one of, you know, their in-state rival for money, you know, potentially losing some historical matchups with Kansas State. Like, I mean, they already lost Nebraska because of this, basically. You know, Nebraska left. And I mean, that was one of the most important games on Oklahoma's schedule every year when they were back in the Big Eight. I mean, I had Tony Casillas on the show, you know, about a month ago, and that was the one of the last questions I asked him. But I asked him, like, how excited are you that Nebraska's back? Man, he got the biggest smile on his face when he was like talking about what Nebraska meant to him and meant
even though they tried to back out.
Yeah, he really tried to back out. Like, you know, that's a game that Oklahoma fans are super excited to have. And I think like that's the same feeling they'll get if they don't play Oklahoma State for 8, 9, 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, I think to me, that's the loss, even though maybe it's not been a rivalry when you think of like a back and forth, you know, Oklahoma State winning as much as Oklahoma does. But as far as in-state emotions go, like the fans see it as a rivalry, even if it's been very lopsided. And so I do think that is one thing. Like, and I get, you know, President Shrum's frustrations, because I feel like that's probably what a lot of Oklahoma State fans are feeling right now. And you know, you take a big picture look at it, and it is kind of a bummer for the state of Oklahoma.
It's just like gross.
Yeah.
is the word I want to use. And
yeah,
I'm okay with it. I'll keep doing podcasts about it. I work for SiriusXM, the college channels, but like you sit down and people listen to this and be like, go cry about it. It's capitalism. I get that. But like, we have, you know, think about it this way. There are now 8 schools who are now like, what just happened?
Right.
One of the schools is the reigning national champion in basketball.
Yeah.
And they don't have a home. You know, they're in the Big 12 right now, but do they have a home yet? And that just kind of shows you it's number one, it's about football.
Yeah.
And number two, it's about chasing as much money as possible. Now, this is the final question I want to ask you. It's more of a kind of esoteric question, but I thought the whole point of the money in college football, especially, was to help you win, right? Like when I see and people are like, well, no, everybody just wants money, but hold up here. When Clemson's putting putt-putt and, you know, laser tag and LSU's doing the sleeping pods and you're updating, you know, whirlpools and televisions and all this kind of stuff in your facilities, isn't the whole point to win? And so, you know, my big question was like, in the end of the day, will this help Oklahoma and Texas win more games? And I don't actually know if the answer is yes. I want to know what you think about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think getting an extra, you know, let's say it's an extra $20 million in the SEC network TV rights deal, if that makes that as much of a difference. Maybe it helps some of their recruiters get out on the road a little bit more. Maybe it throws a little bit more money to some other programs that can do well. But I mean, for Oklahoma, you're already pretty good in a lot of sports. Like, right, you're not really out there struggling. And so, you know, maybe this, I saw something today that was like, Oklahoma doesn't have enough women's sports right now, so they have to add another sport. So that's another interesting kind of tidbit in this whole thing, is they might have to add a whole another sport to comply with SEC regulations that say you have to have two more women's sports than you have men's sports. Sometimes you just learn some weird things. Right. Thank you, Twitter. Twitter's not good for anything. You just learn the odd random fact. But yeah, so I think, you know,
It helped fund those sports, which is good.
Yeah. I mean, as long as Lincoln Riley's there, they're going to have a shot at most every top quarterback. You know, every other year, they're going to have a shot at the top quarterback. And football is a quarterback sport. If you have a top quarterback and he actually turns out to be as good as they think he's going to be, then you're going to have a chance to compete. Now, it's going to be a matter of, can they continue to turn over skill positions? Can they continue to build that offensive line? And they have arguably one of the best offensive line coaches in the country. And then how long can they hold on to Alex Grinch? Can they get Brent Venables out of Alex Grinch? You know, can they get him to stick around for a long tenure? Who knows? Cause that's going to play a big part in it too, because he's doing some really strong work with their defense, and then on the recruiting trail as well, helping to get, you know, 4 or 5-star recruits on the defensive side of the football as well. And so so much of it comes down to recruiting and player development, and they've been pretty good at both in Lincoln Riley's tenure. And they had a pretty seamless transition from the Bob Stoops era. And I don't doubt that they will go into SEC play unprepared. I think they'll be ready to roll. If they do go into the SEC in 2022, it looks like it'll be Caleb Williams kind of making Oklahoma.
If you're a top quarterback, I don't know why you don't go to Oklahoma.
Exactly.
He's got 3 quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Yep. 2 of them are Heismans. 2 of them were number 1 picks. The other one was a second place in the Heisman, first round pick. Second round.
Yeah.
And also, but he started last year.
Yep.
And he's about to have a 4th.
Yep.
So it's like,
yeah. And then if, like I said, if Oklahoma is on the SEC schedule in 2022 and Caleb Williams is the one that's, you know, taking snaps, and I mean, he's advertising Lincoln Riley every time he takes takes a snap and throws a pass. And I mean, they've already got 2023's, quarterback locked up, Malachi Nelson. And I mean, so I think they're always going to be able to contend. Yes, the challenge is more difficult because the schedule just became more difficult. But they're going to have a chance because they're going to have good players. They're going to have good coaching, and they have a really good atmosphere there in Norman that makes it difficult for away teams if we're ever back to full capacity for games. I think they're going to have a chance to contend in the SEC. So much of it will come down to how well they play Texas, like it does every year. And then how the schedule works, if they are in a pod system, do they get Alabama on the schedule that year? Will Nick Saban ever retire? I mean, if Nick Saban retires, then it just kind of opens the whole thing up for everybody. But it's going to be a challenge, but I think it's going to be a fun challenge too. I mean, if you're Oklahoma fans, it's a bit of a shock right now. And I think everybody will kind of get over that at some point. But when that first schedule comes out and you start marking your Saturdays, I think you're going to get just really excited. Yes, you might be a little bit more nervous about more games on your schedule than you might have been recently, but there's no doubt in my mind that those games are going to be really exciting and really fun matchups.
Yeah. And I guess what I would say, John, is let's just enjoy, I guess, the last ride here. Right. Cause this might be it.
This might be it, man. And which again feels very surreal, because I also woke up today just thinking, oh, we got at least until 2024. And then I started thinking more about it. I was like, how is that going to work? Yeah. Like, they're not going to just stay cordially.
We just gave you guys the middle finger. We're going to stay and take your money for a few years first.
Yeah. Right? And your conference championships every year.
Yeah.
That's going to be super awkward when Oklahoma's playing for the conference championship in December and Lincoln Riley's hosting that number 7. Sorry, I'm speaking pretty confidently.
They've won 6 in a row. So at this point, but it's like, hey, we'll take this and we'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
We don't need any more of these. Your conference going away.
Yeah.
Deal with the SEC.
I was talking to a former host of Locked On Horns, Patrick Kahn, earlier today, and he's like, the Oklahoma just needs to do like, I forgot his name now. A WWE wrestler who...
CM Punk.
Yeah. He should do the CM Punk and take the belt and leave. And then I said, or they should do like the NWO and just take the belt and spray paint OU on the front in black and just... And then I saw another guy on Twitter suggest that every time they play a home game, they should wear all blacks for every other Big 12 opponent. And I'm like, man, this is getting really dark.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, look, you guys have taken it up from the conference. Just be nice on your way out. Isn't that the least you guys can do?
That's right. Somebody did mention something though, that like every road game for OU in the Big 12 is going to be incredibly hostile this year.
Oh, it's going to be, let's see. So I'm trying to think about where they go this year. I mean, I think the road schedule is not terrible for them this year.
Right? No, I don't have it off the top of my head.
I'm trying to think about where they went last year.
They got Iowa State this year at home.
At home, right. That one's at home. That would have been that. I mean, I'll tell you what, if they played that game in Ames this year, that would be a like absolute war. I would love, I'm really hoping those two teams do play twice. Yeah. But because, you know, Iowa State fans are so well known for how they travel too. But yeah, I mean,
they go to Kansas State, they go to Kansas,
good atmosphere at Kansas State.
Yeah, they go to Baylor and they go to Stillwater. So that'll be a lot of fun. I bet they'll have President Casey Shrum out there doing the coin toss and the welcoming of the captains.
John, where can people find you and your work?
Yeah, man. So, hey, make sure you follow the show Locked On Sooners on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. And you can also read my work covering the Sooners at the Sooners Wire at usatoday.com.
Awesome, John. Appreciate your time as always.
Yeah, Josh, man, it's been a lot of fun. And I hope this is, I don't know. It's just, I don't know what to, it's weird. I'm excited about the SEC.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad about it.
You're not the one who did it. I don't want
to
lose our crossovers, man, because these are always so much fun.
I'll be locked on Mountain West or something. We'll figure it out. They'll probably need multiple people to the SEC.
Locked on SEC. SEC.
I'll be locked on SEC West.
Yeah, you're just co-host. There you go.
Always love talking with our friend John Williams here in the Locked On Big 12 podcast. That was John Williams once again of Locked On Sooners. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. Until then, follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. Till next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.